Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by Mosby Building Arts and Aqua Systems, with additional support from Seniors Home Care and the Missouri Athletic Club. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right, good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris. Thanks for joining me today, and Happy New Year's, of course. So let's start this new year off right by helping all of our 97.1 listeners with their homes. So you can call me today with any question that you may have about your home right here at 314-241-9797 or from far away, 866-455-9797. So I have a ton of information for everybody today, starting out with some winter DIY projects you might consider, some history of St. Louis's aluminum windows, some yard water drainage. That is always a very popular topic with everybody. And why should you plan for your spring or summer projects right now in a hurry? What's the process? What's the timeline? All of that and more. Plus today's hack. Did you know that you should flush your water heater once a year? Well, today I will let you know how and why to flush your hot water heater in my hack halfway through the show. But again, today is all about you. It's your day. So I want to hear from everybody out there your questions about your home or any remodeling questions you may have after Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve. What have you noticed about your home? Are you finding all the things wrong with it? Well, you can call me today with any questions about your home. We can help you through any of that stuff. I'd love to hear from you at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So I want to get this thing started off by thanking everyone that helped out in December with our virtual food drive. Everybody, you know, going in through our website, donating to Operation Food Search. So, you know, we had a really successful month. We raised about $15,000. So I want to thank everybody out there for helping out and remind people to, you know, keep doing these things, keep up with it, keep helping. You know, they say over 20% of people in Missouri are food insecure. We have over 6 million people in the state. That is a lot of people that need good food, need healthy food. So continue to help out. But thanks for all your help in December. It was great. And, you know, you can still find information, anything about Mosby at our website, callmosby.com, callmosby.com. And, or just call our office if there's anything you need, any advice you need, questions on, you know, any referrals for people. We have a lot of great trade partners we work with. Or if there's something you want us to come check out, we can look at it. We do everything residential from the roof all the way down to the foundation. So we do all remodeling to your home. Our phone number, 314-909-1800. So speaking about, you know, like what should you do to your home? What's some good must-do things for winter while you're in the home? We still got COVID going on, so we're still looking for more indoor things. People are around their houses more, you know, so kind of the list of what are some of the things you should do or can do or think about doing during, you know, the cold winter months. Well, first off, hopefully everybody, and if you have not, get your furnace checked, have the professionals come out and do that routine cleaning. It's not just about making sure it's running good and cleaning it too, but they also check for some dangerous leaks that can keep you safe in your home. So always maintain that furnace, you know, right before or during the winter months for sure, when you're going to be using it a lot. Think about your pipes in your home. In St. Louis, we have a lot of older areas. We have a lot of older homes. We have some rural areas with farm homes and stuff, you know, out in the open with lots of wind and everything. So we have all types of problems, you know, with pipes in our areas. If they're around your exterior walls, make sure that they're insulated well. If they're near the garage or anything like that, you know, you want to keep them insulated. If you're in a home like that, it's a good idea to just keep that thermostat set at the same temperature day and night, so that you're not, you know, having when the temperature drops at night, having it getting cooler. And if you have problems with your pipes freezing, or, you know, trailer homes, stuff like that, modular homes where these pipes are underneath the home, but there's not a really hard, thick foundation, you might want to consider some heat tape to install that you can put on a timer or plug in and on when you need it to keep those pipes warm. A big thing for winter, and this is something that we actually went ahead and started doing right here in my household, was cleaning up the kitchen. So think about everything you've done with Thanksgiving, Christmas, now New Year's Eve, you know, the meals, everything you've been through, you know, cleaning those appliances really well, doing the deep cleaning will help them run better, more efficient, and just kind of, you know, getting everything good for the next year and ready to go is really great. Another thing in there is to just kind of, you know, organize, just start cleaning things up. Out with the old, in with the new, that sort of thing. So, you know, think about the pantry. We did our pantry. We went through all of our base cabinets and reorganized and got things straightened up and got the shelves in the right spot and got everything good and ready for the next year. So another thing you could think about is if you're really, you know, into some hardcore DIY, think about the trimmer on your house. Think about adding, you know, trim indoors. Now's a great time to do that during these cold months. So you could do some chair rail, some crown molding, some wainscot trim. There's all sorts of things that you could do, you know, around the house just to kind of spruce it up, make it better. And you know, we started getting our first ice. We started getting a little bit of snow flurries and stuff. So think about the snow removal. You know, getting your ice melt, having it stocked up and ready to go, being prepared, put your snow shovels where you can find them easy, maybe in your, you know, in a different spot in the garage or the mudroom, back porch, put them where you might need them and have them there and ready to go for you. And the other thing I would definitely say is at the end of the year, think about your tax credits for your house. Think about what you've done throughout the year. You may have, you know, if you got a furnace or an AC or a water heater, you know, or some of the, you did any insulation upgrades, some of these upgrades you've done may very well qualify for a tax credit. If you did a remodeling job, you know, call the company that did it and see if, you know, anything they did in there does qualify, and you can get that amount of what that portion costs and get that off on your taxes. So there's a lot of tax credits out there when you do energy efficiency stuff. There's some $500 tax rebates. So think about that at the end of the year and think about what might start coming at the beginning of this glorious new year. So we're going to get into our first break. We'll have all sorts of stuff and more when we get back. I'll talk about some of those aluminum St. Louis windows and the history of all of that. And also, feel free to give me a call. We're going to go. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And, you know, speaking of the phone line, of the phone number there, we have Tom on the line. He was waiting through the break. So let's go straight to Tom. He has a question for us. Tom, what do you got going on? Are you there?
Yeah, Rich, can you hear me there?
I can hear you, sir. How you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm fine. Thank you. Same to you. Yeah, we were putting our Christmas stuff away, and back in our, we have a storage area in our basement. It's a five-year-old home, and we have a finished basement, but it's got an unfinished storage area. We noticed a crack running right along from one wall, just past the water heater, and then into the inside studded wall, and assuming that it's going all the way across the rest of the basement, which is about maybe 30 feet total.
Okay.
And I looked up some stuff, and it said, you know, if it's a hairline crack, probably not a problem. But if it's about an eighth of an inch, maybe it is needing to be sealed. Just some question about that. And, you know, is it a do-it-yourself thing? Should I get somebody out? What do you think?
Yeah, so really the biggest thing I would say is trying to understand there's signs on these cracks of what, you know, they could be. So trying to understand what some of those signs are. There's a lot of cracks in basements, floor, you know, in the floors that are absolutely normal and absolutely meaningless. Concrete, you know, one of the things it does is it cracks. It just does.
Right.
So, and it depends on how they poured that floor too, because you said your house was 5 years old. So, you know, they put these plastic pieces in the basement floors to create areas for the floor to crack on purpose. So if the crack seems fairly straight, it could be where they wanted it to crack. And that's okay. That's a good thing. And they usually take those off of like where the pipe columns come down into the concrete. They'll come off of the corners of that, or it's, you know, so much of an area, how big, you know, the floor is. If you pour concrete too big, it will move, expand, contract, and it will crack in places. And that's why they try and control it to certain size sections. So one of the things to look for is the crack uneven, like from one side of the crack to the other. If you run your hand or your foot across it, like if you have a shoe on, you run your foot across it, does your shoe get stuck on the crack, or does it just glide right over it?
It would be like raised, maybe.
Yeah, like one. So if one side is kind of sinking, that can actually indicate that maybe not only is your floor sinking, but your actual foundation could be sinking too, because as your foundation settles, the floor goes with it. It's all kind of, it's not connected, but the rock that's under there that goes all around the footing, all that starts to move down with the footing and then the floor. So when your floor starts to get uneven, sometimes it's a matter of your foundation could be settling too. So looking at the walls in that area, the foundation for cracks would be another sign of, you know, what you might have going on or not. But
this looks fairly
like,
straight. I mean, it's a little kind of like a stream with a little bit of wiggle to it, but it's not, you know, it's not perfectly straight, but it's not also, I guess you could say, not like going hard right, hard left, anything like that.
Okay,
and
good.
It is right by one of the support posts, the metal support posts.
Yeah.
It goes right past it, right on it.
So what I would do is get like a bright LED flashlight and kind of try and look inside that crack where you can see the crack on the floor in areas. And if you see like a little piece of plastic, thin piece of plastic about an eighth or a quarter inch down, that's one of those strips they put in to make it crack there on purpose, and that's good.
Okay.
And when they finish it, you don't see them because they finish right over it, and then the crack starts to appear later. And a lot of people you know, then see that and start to panic when really it, so it sounds like that's what you've got. It's a control joint. They did it on purpose. They put that in there to make that crack happen. And it's just for the size of the concrete. So you're probably perfectly fine, especially if you see that piece of plastic down in there. So I'd check for that.
I'll do that. Thanks. We also have had, well, the grading of our lot was, we're kind of up a little bit on a slight hill. So we're at more at the top of the hill. We've had a, we have the, like I said, it's 5 years old, and we had the sump pump, and it has never activated. The sump pump has never activated. So I'm probably thinking that there's not going to be, we don't have any water table issues. What do you think?
Yeah, if you're, well, it's definitely, if it's not done anything, I think that's a great thing. And if you are kind of up and everything grades away right, that really, really helps. I'm going to talk a little bit later in the show about taking out your water pipes, your downspout drains and things like that further out into the yard to reassure that doesn't happen. You know, and you don't get more water around there than you need to, because that helps that a lot too. The only thing I would say is I would probably, if it stays pretty dry about once a year or maybe even twice a year, I would make sure that sump pump works. Dump some water down there and just make sure it runs, because it'll just get old.
Yeah, I've never done that.
It'll just get old over time. They last about, you know, 7 to maybe 12, 15 years tops when you think about replacing them. So even if it's not working, I would still think about replacing that thing at year 10 or 12 or something, because if you ever do have an issue, then you'll wish you knew it worked, you know, because if it doesn't work and it hasn't run for 10 years, it may not run if you ever needed it to. So just keep the maintenance up on it and you should be really good.
Okay. Yeah, we did, a couple of years ago, we were one of the first homes in the area. And as new construction came in, they'd bring the big earth movers in and, you know, the diggers and bulldozers and everything. There's a lot of shaking going on. And we did get a crack in the foundation, but that was kind of on the other side of the basement.
Yeah.
And there was some leakage there.
Yep. But that's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. Yep. I would recommend getting that epoxy injected, because as you get rain around the foundation.
Yeah, that's been, taken care of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, very good.
They did a great job with that. So, yeah, the builder actually took care of that after we were there for a couple of years, so it was kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, that is very nice, absolutely. So, hey, Tom, I got to get into my hard middle break here. If you need anything else, we could talk some more when we get back if you want to. If not, I will.
Good. Thanks for the info.
No problem. I appreciate the call. I hope it helps. And to everybody else out there, we'll be here. Give us a call. We'll have my hack right after the break. We'll be back.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, here we go. We are back, and it is halfway through the show. As always, time for Rich's Right at Home Hack. And, you know, we were just talking about aqua systems and about getting a water softener. Well, let me tell you, you know, did you even know that you should be flushing your water heater about once a year to try and control that? In St. Louis, we are in a hard water area, so the buildup of sediment inside your water heater can really reduce the efficiency, and it can cost you money. So to do this right, there's going to be some tools required, maybe a few things like a shop vac that not everybody might have. There's going to be some materials you're going to have to run out and buy some plumbing stuff to create a shop vac hose adapter and a garden hose adapter and a new shutoff and everything. But if you do this, it can actually lengthen the life of the water heaters so they won't get damaged or fail early. So first thing you are going to need to do is pick up all your materials and build the shop vac adapter that you can hook to the water heater. And you're going to do it twice in two different places to really get this well and good. But first thing you're going to do, shut off your gas or electric, drain that hot water heater, open the valve, let it burst out some water for a few minutes, about 10 minutes, get a lot of it down, go upstairs and turn on one of the hot water faucets, like in the kitchen or something like that. Turn it to hot. That'll help drain everything out of the line. Turn off the cold water supply on top of the water heater so it's not adding any more back into it. And then you are going to take that, you're going to remove that old valve and you're going to let as much of that water out of there as possible. You're going to take the pressure relief valve off and you're going to hook the shop vac adapter to that and turn that shop vac on, and it will create a negative pressure that'll kind of pull things away from there. And as you're taking the valve off the bottom, you won't get blasted with so much water as you're trying to get it off. Then with your new material, you're going to assemble a new valve down at the bottom, and you're going to put your garden hose adapter on that so that once you now install that new valve, you can hook the garden hose to it. You can run it over to a floor drain. I would recommend putting it maybe through a colander so it kind of collects some of that sediment, or you can drain it into a bucket so you kind of collect that sediment and don't necessarily clog up your floor drain in your basement. But flush that tank all the way through, let it run out, and then you're going to take that shop vac and you're going to hook it to the bottom of that tank, turn the cold water back on a little bit, and vacuum out as much of that out of the bottom. And that'll help suck a lot more of that sediment out of the bottom. Then you can shut it all down, take all that off. You can leave that other shut off down at the bottom, the new one, so that you're ready to go for next time. Refill that water heater all the way up, make sure it's running upstairs and everything, get the air out of the lines, and then you can turn that gas or electricity back on, let it start heating that water for you. But this is more important than a lot of people know. And to understand, if you start hearing like that boiling noise or a popping noise from downstairs, a lot of times that is your hot water heater, and it's that sediment moving around. It's hot spots inside the bottom of that water heater, and that just damages that water heater. So I know this was a lot of information for everybody, but you can go to my social media later on this week. You can find a link to where all this information came from. All the information, you know, you can get it there. You can see pictures. It'll have the list of all the stuff that you need and everything. And you can go ahead and find all that. So look me up at Facebook. It'd be Rich Orris Mosby. Search that, or at Rich Orris on Twitter. And you can get all of that information there later on in the week so that you have your list and you can get it done. It's more important than you think, for sure. So, and if you got anything else, I want to invite Facebook over to 97.1 FM right now. You can call in, get your questions answered, and we'll work on your house together with you. So have a good one, and we're going to get right back to our regular show here. Got about 5 minutes before the break, so I want to kind of touch on a really popular topic that we do talk about quite a bit. We get a lot of questions about it, and water, you know, it does a lot of damage to your house when not controlled. It really can, from the roof all the way down to the foundation. So, you know, if you think about it, what's Mother Nature doing? Is trying to, you know, return everything back to the earth. It's trying to, you know, rejuvenate everything for itself. And we're trying to keep our houses. We're trying to keep things steady and safe and solid. Well, Mother Nature is trying to beat that down for you. So you got to do these things to keep your home working and functioning, and keeping water controlled and in the right places and out of the house is one of the most important things that you can absolutely do. So when we think about the water coming around the house, so what we recommend here at Mosby is a minimum of 10 feet away from the home. When you have downspouts coming off your house, You want to get that water as far away from the home as possible. A minimum of 10 feet would be good. But you run that pipe underground, get them way out into the yard. If you can take them further, I'm telling you, take them further. Get them as far as you can. If you have enough fall where you can just daylight that pipe and have that water just rush out of there, that is definitely a great way to do it. Probably the best way to do it, to make sure it just runs out and goes away. If you don't have a whole lot of fall in the yard, you can use those, what we call the pop-up emitters. That's those, it's like an elbow on the pipe with a little green cap that goes on it where the center pops up with the water pressure and gets that water out of there. And how that works is basically hydrostatic pressure. As the pipe's filling up, it's just like a P-trap underneath your sink. That water will start coming out the other end. But you have to make sure you install these really, really well, because they hold water. And so if you ever have anybody that says, we don't like to use those pop-up emitters, or we won't put them in because we have problems with the pipes freezing, that means they are not installing these things right to get that water out of there. At the bottom of that elbow, there is a little weep hole to let water out slowly. So it should have enough of it come out where it's not freezing and breaking the pipe. So basically at the end of that elbow, you're going to want to dig a hole in the ground. I would imagine it's about the size of a 5-gallon bucket, and you can take that and basically fill it, tamp it with rock. That will do two things. It will let that water out cleanly and slowly and disperse the grade slowly, but it will also, the rock, if you tamp it well, it will hold that elbow so that that pipe doesn't sink down on the end of it. And that is also key to keeping that where you want it so that the water comes out. I see so many of these drop, sag, and then they get covered up, and then you just have a pipe full of water all the time. So make sure you install those pop-up emitters absolutely correctly. But it is so imperative, just like we were talking with Tom about controlling the water, they got one crack, some water was coming in, get that stuff taken care of. Get it taken care of quickly, because
it's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, here we go. We are back, and it is halfway through the show. As always, time for Rich's Right at Home Hack. And, we were just talking about aqua systems and about getting a water softener. Well, let me tell you, did you even know that you should be flushing your water heater about once a year to try and control that? In St. Louis, we are in a hard water area, so the buildup of sediment inside your water heater can really reduce the efficiency, and it can cost you money. So to do this right, there's going to be some tools required, maybe a few things like a shop vac that not everybody might have. There's going to be some materials. You're going to have to run out and buy some plumbing stuff to create a shop vac hose adapter and a garden hose adapter and a new shutoff and everything. But if you do this, it can actually lengthen the life of the water heaters so they won't get damaged or fail early. So first thing you are going to need to do is pick up all your materials and build the shop vac adapters that you can hook to the water heater. And you're going to do it twice in two different places to really get this well and good. But first thing you're going to do, shut off your gas or electric, drain that hot water heater, open the valve, let it burst out some water for a few minutes, about 10 minutes, get a lot of it down, go upstairs and turn on one of the hot water faucets, like in the kitchen or something like that. Turn it to hot. That'll help drain everything out of the line. Turn off the cold water supply on top of the water heater so it's not adding any more back into it. And then you are going to take that, you're going to remove that old valve, and you're going to let as much of that water out of there as possible. You're going to take the pressure relief valve off, and you're going to hook the shop vac adapter to that. and turn that shop back on, and it will create a negative pressure that'll kind of pull things away from there. And as you're taking the valve off the bottom, you won't get blasted with so much water as you're trying to get it off. Then with your new material, you're going to assemble a new valve down at the bottom, and you're going to put your garden hose adapter on that, so that once you now install that new valve, you can hook the garden hose to it. You can run it over to a floor drain. I would recommend putting it maybe through a colander so it kind of collects some of that sediment, or you can drain it into a bucket so you kind of collect that sediment and don't necessarily clog up your floor drain in your basement. But flush that tank all the way through, let it run out, and then you're going to take that shop vac and you're going to hook it to the bottom of that tank, turn the cold water back on a little bit, and vacuum out as much of that out of the bottom. And that'll help suck a lot more of that sediment out of the bottom. Then you can shut it all down, take all that off. You can leave that other shut off down at the bottom, the new one, so that you're ready to go for next time. Refill that water heater all the way up. Make sure it's running upstairs and everything. Get the air out of the lines. And then you can turn that gas or electricity back on. Let it start heating that water for you. But this is more important than a lot of people know. And to understand, if you start hearing like that boiling noise or a popping noise from downstairs, a lot of times that is your hot water heater, and it's that sediment moving around. It's hot spots inside the bottom of that water heater, and that just damages that water heater. So I know this was a lot of information for everybody, but you can go to my social media later on this week. You can find a link to where all this information came from. All the information, you know, you can get it there. You can see pictures. It'll have the list of all the stuff that you need and everything. And you can go ahead and find all that. So look me up at Facebook. It'd be Rich Orris Mosby. Search that, or at Rich Orris on Twitter. And you can get all of that information there later on in the week so that you have your list and you can get it done. It's more important than you think, for sure. So, and if you got anything else, I want to invite Facebook over to 97.1 FM right now. You can call in, get your questions answered, and we'll work on your house together with you. So have a good one, and we're going to get right back to our regular show here. Got about 5 minutes before the break, so I want to kind of touch on a really popular topic that we do talk about quite a bit. We get a lot of questions about it, and water, you know, it does a lot of damage to your house when not controlled. It really can, from the roof all the way down to the foundation. So, you know, if you think about it, what's Mother Nature doing? It's trying to, you know, return everything back to the earth. It's trying to, you know, rejuvenate everything for itself. And we're trying to keep our houses. We're trying to keep things steady and safe and solid. Well, Mother Nature is trying to beat that down for you. So you got to do these things to keep your home working and functioning, and keeping water controlled and in the right places and out of the house is one of the most important things that you can absolutely do. So when we think about the water coming around the house, so what we recommend here at Mosby is a minimum of 10 feet away from the home. When you have downspouts coming off your house, you want to get that water as far away from the home as possible. A minimum of 10 feet would be good. But you run that pipe underground, get them way out into the yard. If you can take them further, I'm telling you, take them further, get them as far as you can. If you have enough fall where you can just daylight that pipe and have that water just rush out of there, that is definitely a great way to do it. Probably the best way to do it, to make sure it just runs out and goes away. If you don't have a whole lot of fall in the yard, you can use those, what we call the pop-up emitters. That's those, you know, it's like an elbow on the pipe with a little green cap that goes on it where the center pops up with the water pressure and gets that water out of there. And how that works is basically hydrostatic pressure. As the pipe's filling up, it's just like a P-trap underneath your sink. That water will start coming out the other end. But you have to make sure you install these really, really well because they hold water. And so if you ever have anybody that says, you know, we don't like to use those pop-up emitters or we won't put them in because we have problems with the pipes freezing, that means they are not installing these things right to get that water out of there. At the bottom of that elbow, there is a little weep hole to let water out slowly. So it should have enough of it come out where it's not freezing and breaking the pipe. So basically at the end of that elbow, you're going to want to dig a hole in the ground. I would imagine it's about the size of a 5-gallon bucket. And you can take that and basically fill it, tamp it with rock. That will do two things. It will let that water out cleanly and slowly and disperse the grade slowly. But it will also, the rock, if you tamp it well, it will hold that elbow so that that pipe doesn't sink down on the end of it. And that is also key to keeping that where you want it so that the water comes out. I see so many of these drop, sag, and then they get covered up, and then you just have a pipe full of water all the time. So make sure you install those pop-up emitters absolutely correctly. But it is so imperative, you know, just like we were talking with Tom about controlling the water, they got one crack, some water was coming in, you know, get that stuff taken care of, get it taken care of quickly, because you know, it's just the longer things happen, the more it takes to get it done, the harder it can be later. If you get it done right away, it will absolutely be so much, probably cost less, quicker, easier, everything about that. So take care of your stuff really quickly. And if there's anything you guys need for your home, again, I mean, this is what we do here at Mosby. This is what I do. I look at this stuff. I give good advice. I check it out. And we perform all of this stuff here at Mosby Building Arts. So you can, if you have anything you want us to look at, we do everything residentially. You can give us a call, 314-909-1800, or you can go online to our website, callmosby.com, and you can do submissions and questions on there. You can set up your appointments on there. You can do it at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. If you're working nights or something and you're usually up at night, do it at your convenience. Get your stuff taken care of, maintain your house, and get it remodeled nicely the best way possible. That's what we're looking at doing. That's what we're talking about. And that's why we do everything that we do. So again, we're going to get into our final break here, but feel free to give us a call in the last segment. If you have a question, we'd absolutely love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. We're going to jump off and take a break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Final segment here. And, you know, I want to kind of touch on planning. Here at Mosby Building Arts, you know, planning these projects is a big part of everything that we do every day. You know, so for those of you that may not know, we are a full service design build residential remodeling company. We do absolutely everything to a residential home. We do jobs where we remodel the entire home, every piece of the home, new roof, addition, retaining walls. I mean, everything around the home, kitchens, baths, we do absolutely all of it. And we're big, you know, in the design build, we're big planners, plan this stuff up front, get the scope right, get the selections right, know everything you're going to do before you start so that you can then, you know, decrease that construction timeline, you know, things like that. And you know, a lot of people, they get these jobs started with people that don't plan very well. And their biggest complaint is it took forever. They didn't communicate well. The job just, it took months. Well, our jobs take months too, but we plan so many of those months up front to know everything about it that we can really kind of pull that Band-Aid off a little quicker, get through that project at your house a little quicker with better, you know, written scope, with better planning, with knowing everything that's going to happen. It just decreases all the delays, all the, you know, make sure everything's right, make sure everybody's on the same page. So when you're looking at something, you know, so right now, people are probably starting, you're all starting to think spring. All right, let's think about spring. Let's do our patio. Let's do an outdoor kitchen. Let's do some outdoor stuff. We're going to want to be outside as soon as the weather gets warm again. Well, how long, you know, what's it take and how long do you think something like that might take? Well, so when we really think about like an outdoor kitchen, I mean, the first thing you're going to really look at is start talking with that kitchen designer so that they can help plan and explore and really figure out what kind of kitchen and entertaining area will really fit your needs best for you and for the house in the backyard. So, you know, first thing we're looking at is kind of location. How would it fit? How would it work? So there's going to be some measuring and planning for all of that. And then you're going to kind of look at, you know, the accessibility of the space, the privacy, the property boundaries, water drainage, very important. We were just talking about landscaping around. How can you get water or electricity out to that area? There's a lot of stuff like that to figure out in that first kind of conceptual design step. Then you start to look really at, you know, some preliminary budgets, some drawings, really detailed scope of work, figure out exactly what is going to go down. Then we can really start looking at the selections, the material step. What is 100% of everything? Going shopping with a designer, picking out every piece of everything for a kitchen, whether it's inside, outside, every little detail, you'll know what it is. You'll understand it and you'll absolutely love it. And the designers will help make sure it's going to look great, function great, work great, all of that stuff for you. So when you get through those final selections, the final drawings, some schedules, all that detail, you've got all this construction detail. Now we're into a actual construction agreement saying, let's get started. Well, what kind of happens then? You know, you should be have a very detailed scope of work. You should have a walkthrough with a project manager and the designer or sales consultant, all of that, just to kind of get things started. There's permitting process. So there could be a delay before you can even actually get there and start working. Then again, at the end of the project, after everything's through, look at it again, walk through it again with that consultant or the designer, the project manager, make sure everything on the list was done, make sure everything looks good, fits your needs. All of that stuff is, you know, just great communication, great things to do. So when you look at all that, you know, and you think, okay, so if I started planning right now today, how long does something like that take? Well, a conceptual design can take anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks to do, a couple months sometimes, to get through that whole process, everything that needs to happen. Now you start looking at, you're liking it, you go shopping, selections, we do walkthroughs at the site. There's another 2 to 4 weeks of just figuring out everything that goes into it and getting to that exact final piece of all of the pieces of the puzzle, so that it can be put together. Well, right now with COVID, with delays from COVID and stuff, and with all the work that's happening out there, we're a good 8 to 12 weeks, 2 to 3 months from starting a project from an agreement signing with the permitting process and all the stuff going on. And this is pretty typical right now. All these timelines have been stretched out. So let's kind of look at that timeline and think, well, if that job takes 6 weeks to build, let's say, and you do some of the longer times, you're talking 28 weeks from start to finish. You're in July getting ready to use this stuff for summer and everything. So don't delay. Take a look at this stuff. If you're thinking about it, start thinking quicker, harder, faster, and get on it, because time is of the essence if you want this thing for this coming season so that you can use it anything outside. So I invite you all to do that. Again, you can do all this on our website at callmosby.com, or you can give us a call, 314-909-1800. I'd love to hear from you, just like on this show. So, hey, we're just about out of time. Want to thank Tom for calling. Want to thank everybody for listening. Had an absolute great time today. It's a great new year. Can't wait to talk to everybody the whole year through. So for now, be good, be kind to one another, and I will talk to everybody next Saturday. All right, we are back. Final segment here. And, you know, I want to kind of touch on planning. Here at Mosby Building Arts, you know, planning these projects is a big part of everything that we do every day. You know, so for those of you that may not know, we are a full service design build residential remodeling company. We do absolutely everything to a residential home. We do jobs where we remodel the entire home, every piece of the home, new roof, addition, retaining walls. I mean, everything around the home, kitchens, baths, we do absolutely all of it. And we're big, you know, in the design build, we're big planners, plan this stuff up front, get the scope right, get the selections right, know everything you're going to do before you start so that you can then, you know, decrease that construction timeline, you know, things like that. And, you know, a lot of people, they get these jobs started with people that don't plan very well. And their biggest complaint is it took forever. They didn't communicate well. The job just, it took months. Well, our jobs take months too, but we plan so many of those months up front to know everything about it that we can really kind of pull that Band-Aid off a little quicker, get through that project at your house a little quicker with better, you know, written scope, with better planning, with knowing everything that's going to happen. It just decreases all the delays, all the, you know, make sure everything's right, make sure everybody's on the same page. So when you're looking at something, you know, so right now people are probably starting, you're all starting to think spring. All right, let's think about spring. Let's do our patio. Let's do an outdoor kitchen. Let's do some outdoor stuff. We're going to want to be outside as soon as the weather gets warm again. Well, how long, you know, what's it take and how long do you think something like that might take? Well, so when we really think about like an outdoor kitchen, I mean, the first thing you're going to really look at is start talking with that kitchen designer so that they can help plan and explore and really figure out what kind of kitchen and entertaining area will really fit your needs best for you and for the house in the backyard. So, you know, first thing we're looking at is kind of location. How would it fit? How would it work? So there's going to be some measuring and planning for all of that. And then you're going to kind of look at, you know, the accessibility of the space, the privacy, the property boundaries, water drainage, very important. We were just talking about landscaping around. How can you get water or electricity out to that area? There's a lot of stuff like that to figure out in that first kind of conceptual design step. Then you start to look really at, you know, some preliminary budgets, some drawings, really detailed scope of work, figure out exactly what is going to go down. Then we can really start looking at the selections, the materials step. What is 100% of everything? Going shopping with a designer, picking out every piece of everything for a kitchen, whether it's inside, outside, every little detail, you'll know what it is. You'll understand it and you'll absolutely love it. And the designers will help make sure it's going to look great, function great, work great, all of that stuff for you. So when you get through those final selections, the final drawings, some schedules, all that detail, you've got all this construction detail. Now we're into a actual construction agreement saying, let's get started. Well, what kind of happens then? You know, you should be have a very detailed scope of work. You should have a walkthrough with a project manager and the designer or sales consultant, all of that, just to kind of get things started. There's permitting process. So there could be a delay before you can even actually get there and start working. Then again, at the end of the project, after everything's through, look at it again, walk through it again with that consultant or the designer, the project manager, make sure everything on the list was done, make sure everything looks good, fits your needs, all of that stuff is, you know, just great communication, great things to do. So when you look at all that, you know, and you think, okay, so if I started planning right now today, how long does something like that take? Well, a conceptual design can take anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks to do, a couple months sometimes, to get through that whole process, everything that needs to happen. Now you start looking at, you're liking it, you go shopping, selections, we do walkthroughs at the site. There's another 2 to 4 weeks of just figuring out everything that goes into it and getting to that exact final piece of all of the pieces of the puzzle so that it can be put together. Well, right now with COVID, with delays from COVID and stuff, and with all the work that's happening out there, we're good 8 to 12 weeks, 2 to 3 months from starting a project from an agreement signing with the permitting process and all the stuff going on. And this is pretty typical right now. All these timelines have been stretched out. So let's kind of look at that timeline and think, well, if that job takes 6 weeks to build, let's say, and you do some of the longer times, you're talking 28 weeks from start to finish. You're in July getting ready to use this stuff for summer and everything. So don't delay. Take a look at this stuff. If you're thinking about it, start thinking quicker, harder, faster, and get on it, because time is of the essence if you want this thing for this coming season so that you can use it anything outside. So I invite you all to do that. Again, you can do all this on our website at callmosby.com, or you can give us a call, 314-909-1800. I'd love to hear from you, just like on this show. So, hey, we're just about out of time. Want to thank Tom for calling. Want to thank everybody for listening. Had an absolute great time today. It's a great new year. Can't wait to talk to everybody the whole year through. So for now, be good, be kind to one another, and I will talk to everybody next Saturday.